Jason Robb's corporate takeover will not be heard tonight because of a hush money investigation. Stay tuned for a show that you can bank on.
This is Gordon Pepper, and we're talking chaos and chaos effect. And, you know, there's nothing better than when a theme comes together this early in the week, or shall I say last week. Isn't that right, Chico?
That is correct. And the theme this week is causing chaos. We have chaos in the vote in Survivor. We have chaos in the vote on Deal or No Deal Island. We have chaos cooking on Top Chef. And something that is not chaotic is the first of the summer breed as Jason, your friend, yeah. The toilet's back.
Yes! Oh, I can't. Woo! Let me tell you something. May and August, and I think, like, November, December, how many different types of times a year do we do the toilet? Three times. Okay. I love it because we get to actually predict stuff, and it's just fun. It's just fun.
It is a fun time, and I'm ready for a fun time. Are y'all ready for a fun time?
We are. So,
let's hit
Chico,
the fun button from somewhere in America. The Cause Chaos Cocaines edition of WLTI is on. Let's go.
Whee!
Welcome to episode 443 of the World's Strongest Game Show podcast here at 5&1 Studios. My name is Jason Block, your strength and conditioning coach, all-around good guy, and making sure people wear their sunscreen because it's been nice the last couple days.
It's a beautiful week so far. It's been a beautiful week.
I know. And, of course, I am here with my brothers for another mother, Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper. Gentlemen, how are you?
I am pleased as punch now that I have my voice back.
Yeah, I know. You sound human. By the way, we really need to go to the island because Gordon Pepper was right again.
Yay!
Okay, let me explain. So, and Chico, you can back me up.
You don't have to explain that I'm right again. It's just a general fact.
Yeah, no. But just
there's a story behind why you're right. There's a story behind that.
Okay, good.
Okay. So everybody was pissed that Q was not out there. But a couple of people are going, you know, and as Gordon said, this would be the right person to take and befriend. And I was going,
the light bulbs are starting to flicker above Kenzie, Maria, and Charlie's heads.
Yes, they're like, wait a minute. This guy's a moron. Let's keep him. And then there's another people are going, no, we need him out. We need him out. We need him out. Liz is the number one contender in this effect. So then we get into corporate synergy, okay? In our reward challenge sponsored by Grizzlebees. You wish you had less fun. No, I'm sorry. Actually, literally sponsored by Applebee's. They've done this before, right around mid. This is the mid-season fuel up. And I knew exactly how this was going to go. This was down to 8. So what happened was that teams had to go through an obstacle course and push sandbags through a net and eventually get one sandbag. And then the person who puts the sandbag on the top of the tall pole gets reward. Basically,
it's kind of opportunistic because today being May Day as we record this, you got to get your thing on top of the maypole.
Right, exactly. And basically, it was the Applebee's feast, you know, with all the appetizers, chicken and shrimp, the mushroom burger, and of course the Oreo shape, fancy like. You know the reference. Aha. So, get this. Q wins, okay? Who, and of course, Jeff goes, all right, pick somebody. Then pick another person. Then pick another person. So, who does he pick?
Well, the first person he picks is Tiffany.
Then he and then she looks at him like, that ain't gonna help, but okay.
No. Then he picks Maria because she checked on him, going back to what we said about maybe it's a good time to get me friends cute.
And then Liz is legitimately begging, and I mean like begging, and almost not pathetic.
She was crying. She was crying.
She's like, please, please, please pick me. And Q goes, sorry, Kenzie, you're coming. And Jeff, throwing fire on the gasoline on the fire, basically says,
I believe the correct phrase is trying to extinguish the fire with gasoline.
Yes, basically says, hey, Liz, you want to talk about how you feel right now?
Oh, Lord.
And then Liz goes, I'm pissed! It's like, you know, she's like, I'm pissed! I'm pissed!
I'm trying to do what I did last week. I'm pissed! You almost...
You blew up my spot.
You overshadowed everything I was trying to do, and I said, it's cool. I didn't say nothing. I don't even want to be around y'all.
No, yeah, exactly. And he's like, whatever. He does not care.
Oh, Lord. Q done put a target on his back, but at the same time, probably earned his way to the finale. I don't know.
We shall see.
We'll talk Survivor Theory later, but keep going here.
Okay, so then we get to the immunity challenge. And what happens is that this is an old Survivor classic. You have to hold up a bucket with 25% of your pregame body weight by a crank. As long as you can hold it up, You're good. Last person to have the bucket held up wins immunity. And then Jeff decides to be deal maker one more time. He says, can we get four people to get rice to last the end of the season? Everyone says, no, we don't think so. Wait.
Kenzie was the first to sit out.
Right. Liz was like, I may sit out, but they didn't get more than two. So Jeff was like, all right, fine. Liz, if you want to sit out, I can give you rice for you. It's not going to be for the end of the season, but I'll give you rice. And she's like, okay, I'm out. And good for them, because they were recognizing that she was emotionally drained at that point. So we eventually get down to Charlie and Tiff. Charlie looks at her, winks, gives her some sort of signal that looked a little obscene. Tiff just shrugged it off, but unfortunately dropped her bucket. Charlie wins immunity. Okay? Now, for the second week in a row, Tiffany has an idol. Now, I'll explain what I mean in a minute. So, okay. So, Tiffany thinks that she's going to be able to get out Q. But a lot of people were thinking, Q ain't the guy we need to get out. Tiff is, because she's strong. And you know what? At Tribal, they did. They took her out. Was it five to three?
5-3, yes.
Okay. And for the second week in a row, a person who felt safe did not play their idol and left it in their pocket.
And that was a stupid move by Tiffany, because you had to think from the last episode, the vote did not go the way that she expected it to, which means there's some sort of something going on that you don't have the finger to pulse on. If I was Tiffany, I would have played that idol.
I know.
And then
bye-bye, Q. Yeah, but... You got some hinkiness going on with that.
No, there was no hinkiness. There was no hinkiness. She was stupid.
I was talking about last week.
That wasn't
no,
Hank Hughes
was
either.
No, Hanky, Chico, I'm not understanding. If you've been following along with the gameplay,
I've been following,
okay, there isn't any hinkiness.
No, there isn't any hinkiness, but the players are thinking,
why are you saying
wait a
that
minute.
There is?
No, I'm not saying that there is. I'm
you just
players,
did!
Hey,
you
hey,
just...
can I finish? Can I finish? I'm saying that the players think there's some hinkiness. Because they were, remember, they were supposed to get rid of Q last week, but nobody ever did. So now...
No,
but
I don't...
That's my point. My point is that that should have been a Q card to Tiffany, saying, you know what, the vote didn't go the way that I wanted to, and therefore I may not be part of the majority alliance, which means I need to play my idol, just so I can buy 3 days and see what's going on, and maybe I get rid of the person that we really needed to get rid of.
See, I was agreeing with you.
Okay, fine, but I will say this. People are looking for idols. I don't think there's any favorite here. I actually think the gameplay this season has absolutely stunk. Stunk horrible gameplay.
Oh. Yeah?
I disagree with you there. I don't think the gameplay is stunk. I think what the situation here is that anytime somebody sees a forerunner, they're going out of their way to get rid of them. It sort of reminds me a little bit about Survivor Marquesas and other ones where the weak shall inherit the earth. I mean, if you look at it, you're doing what you need to be doing in this, which is you need to be getting rid of strength. And you also need to be getting rid of people that you do not think you have a chance of beating. So the votes make sense. You got rid of the majority alliance that came with the most number of people in the merge. That's one of the reasons why Tim and Hunter both went bye-bye. So what's next? You get rid of the next person who could be strength, who can rack up and win immunity challenges. So Tiffany is next. By the way, that Yana 3 is still looking pretty good.
Indeed it is. Indeed it is.
And so there's your voting block. And if you're Liz, you needed to recognize that and realize it, that it's a very quiet block. So no, I don't think the strategy stuck at all. I think the problem is that the people that are in the forefront are just assuming that they're in the forefront and aren't realizing, sort of like the Road to Ford Survivor Marchesis, that wait a second, there's five people on the outside that outnumber the four people on the inside. Just like here, there's six people on the outside that outnumbered the five people on the inside. And so they're getting rid of. Now, again, if I'm the Yana 3, I ride this all the way to the bank. All I really need to do is survive one or two more votes with a foursome, or in this case a fivesome. I can knock out the rest of the was majority, now minority alliance, and then whoever can get to Q to the end wins whoever can get Q with them to the end wins $1 million. So the gameplay doesn't stink. And the problem is that the people that are in a position of strength that feel that they are in a position of weakness, because you have a lot of meta going on this season.
Okay.
Yeah, I've noticed that a lot of people who are strong, they also have to hit at idols, and they also think that their strength is going to see them through, but you have that safety net. Why aren't you using the safety net?
Well, the problem is, and then we got to move on, the problem is that they think, well, people know I have an idol, that means they're not going to vote me out. But that actually means the other way. They know you have an idol, they're going to try to blindside you so that you can't use it later. Again, advanced meta strategy. Anyway, let's move on from Jason said the gameplay stinks in Survivor. No, but I'll tell you where the gameplay really stinks, which is Deal or No Deal Island.
Okay, let's do it. Let's do it.
All right,
so
our next excursion requires a jet ski across a bay to a clearing with a cases ranging from $3 million to $6 million in $500,000 increments. There is also a time clock element, which starts at $10 million, and for every minute that goes by, it decreases by $500,000. Now, instead of whoever collects the most money controls all the power, we're shifting into a bit of a more democratic move, because the less money you have in your case, the more votes you have to determine who goes to see the banker at the temple. $3 million case has 7 votes. The $3.5 million case has 6. $4 million has 5, so on and so forth. Whatever you get will be on the board during Deal or No Deal. So, when all the votes came in, Aaron had 7 votes. Rob had 7 votes. Stephanie had 1 vote. And Amy had 6.
However, in the tie, the highest value collector of all would decide who would go up against the banker at that point.
Yes, and here is the cases as they stood. Rob has $3 million, so I'm guessing he's going the power play move of, okay, I don't want just one vote. I want to have all the votes, and I want to put them all on one person. I get that. Stephanie has $3.5 million. Aaron has $4 million. Jordan has $5.5 million. And Amy has $6 million. So Rob has the lion's share of the votes. He puts 6 on Amy and 1 on Stephanie. Everybody else votes for Aaron and Rob. And it ends tied. And in the case of the tie, like Jason said, the highest value gets the deciding vote. That would be Amy. She picks Aaron.
Okay, can we have a buzzer, please?
Buzzer.
Wrong, wrong, wrong pick.
I got a button for that, too.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong.
Yep. Should have been. Am I correct? I hope I'm right, Gordon, on this one. I hope. Or am I not?
Well, you said it should have been what? So you're partially
Rob.
Right. Who's the... No. You're right track, wrong train.
Okay.
It should have been her ally. Actually, she did the right move with Aaron, but Aaron, for whatever bizarro reason, and I don't understand why, but part of this is the gameplay and the psychology, is them trying to convince Aaron that it would make him look better in everybody's eyes if he went after Rob. Last time I checked,
like
this game is not based on people voting anybody. You cannot get voted off Deal or No Deal Island. And people in their social game cannot guarantee or have any part of who the winner actually is, unless it is, which would be extraordinarily stupid, and I will cast this game into a black hole.
So, well, we haven't gotten to that part of the season yet, but...
No, but we will. But the fact of the matter is that, yeah, I get it in terms of what they want to do with Aaron, but that was a terrible move, and putting in Rob is a terrible move, because if Rob or Aaron is smart and they win, guess who's getting knocked off?
Amy.
I'll give you a hint. It's not Rob.
Stephanie?
That would be a good hint.
That would be a good hint.
So they got real lucky that Aaron got knocked out. By the way, Aaron saying he would get rid of Rob, that is also a terrible move. Because you are getting rid of the one person that can guarantee that they will bring you to the finals.
However, the finals line up.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's just dumb, 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 dumb. What are you doing? Dumb, diddy, dumb, dumb, dumb.
That's right. Dumb.
Right. So basically, his case had $3.5 million. He had an offer of $1,199,000. And the thing was is that the only case that was higher left was, what, the $6
million
at that point?
$3.5 million.
The only case that was higher was the one that Aaron wound up having.
Yes.
So he gone. We'll never know if he would have knocked out Rob, which again would have been extraordinarily stupid, but again, we won't know that. So now you're down to 2 owls and a wolf. So to speak.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
So we don't know if now do we definitely know if the next episode is the season finale?
Next episode
is there
not
one
the
more, and then they go to final two. What?
Next episode is not the season finale.
All right. So then there you go. So it's going to go from 3-2 and then 2-1 and then one place adventure.
Yep.
For 18 gazillion dollars.
No, right now the final case is at a little over 10.1 million.
Which, by the way, I guarantee they're not going to get.
No, that's not going to.
Well, the only way that you're going to get the 10, what my sense is, and then we'll move on. But my sense is that will be the final case that you're playing. That will be one of the cases up there. And the only way to sniff it is to hold on to it through the end.
That would be
my thought, and they'll probably play the traditional 26 case game of Deal or No Deal. And just because I'm thinking the first half of the finale is you get the person playing against the banker, and then the second half is you get the actual one player versus the banker game.
That makes sense to me. Makes sense to me.
All right.
So what else makes sense is a bunch of people running around in America, but not North America. Chico, where are we going?
It's in South America. We're going to Uruguay.
More specifically,
Montevideo. And
I like videos. Can't take anywhere.
Anyway.
No, not at all.
So we start out at Fortaleza del Cerro in Montevideo. And again, they all depart 15 minutes based on the order of arrival at the previous pit stop, and they are led to Puerto Logístico, Punta de Sayago, the location of this leg's roadblock, where one team member had to weld two pieces of metal into a right angle that could withstand two impacts from a hammer in order to receive their next clue.
There you go.
it's sort of like tough as nails, but not really. Anyway, the next clue directs them to Ciudad Vieja, Plaza de la Fuente, where they encounter the leg's detour, Candombe or Murga.
This is another musical.
Yes.
Roadblock.
In Candombe, teams had to perform a candombe drum routine in order to receive their next clue. In Murga.
Oh, me. Put the
I know you're a drummer, Gordon. I know you're a drummer, Gordon. I also know you're a singer, so you could do either one of these. In Murga.
He has perfect, and he also has perfect pitch,
by the way.
In Murga, teams had to sing a Murga song in order to receive their next clue. In any event, they are directed to the pit stop, Playa Malvin, on the coast of Montevideo. And the first one there, Ricky and Cesar. Stop me if you've heard this one.
Look at this right now. As of now, they had the lowest finish has been second.
Yeah.
Four firsts.
Is that good?
Four firsts, four seconds. At this time.
Yeah. And for their spoils of victory, they receive cashback rewards for a trip to Paris, France.
Woohoo!
Maybe they get to the Olympics. Oh no, we can't talk about that. We're on network. Anyway.
Meanwhile,
they're not paying us to advertise, last time I checked. So
no. Right, so there you go.
Meanwhile, Sunny and Busy, who were struggling to get out the back of the pack, never got out of the back of the pack, and they are eliminated in seventh.
And this is the fourth week in a row where the team in the back never got a chance to move up in any way, shape, or form.
And once again, it's the power of the alliances. I mean, you have a three-team alliance, and they're methodically getting rid of people. And again, if this is their strong line bat, that's exactly, if you're playing this race, that's exactly what you need to be doing, is finding teams that are very good, aligning with them, making sure you share stuff, and making sure that it doesn't really matter who wins first, second, or third, as long as it's some sort of combination.
Correct.
Yes.
Yep.
But now you have the problem of Juan and Shane, who were first at the end of the Mega Leg. Now they've dropped down to 6th. So now they're on the bubble.
Yes. So we have to watch.
I think eventually we're going to wind up having an equalizer somewhere around here where the teams are going to be equalized. Just because we haven't had that care of the Mega Legs. I think that we are due for an equalizer.
Yeah, we are. We are eventually.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely are. Yeah. So let's go to Milwaukee, shall we? While we are in chaos, literally. Okay.
Yeah.
So in first call this, there's a guest appearance by Rob the Cash Cow, as we have Dairy Forward. Yes, Dairy Forward Desserts. The guest judge was Christina Tosi, and then we had Kalina rejoining the competition, and Sue introduces the new competitor. So Kristen Kish informed the cast that since Tom Colicchio allowed 2 contestants through Last Cash Kitchen, the judges reserve the right to have a double elimination in the any elimination challenge without prior warning. Dun, dun, dun!
Dun, dun, dun.
Chaos. Okay. So the elimination challenge was a COVID-19 challenge where the chef were challenged to make dishes exemplifying chaos cooking, a trend similar to fusion cuisine with disregards to all culinary convention. The winner received immunity, and the guest judges were Maddie Matheson and Philip Foss and chef writer Sophia Rowe. Danny wins with his scallop farsi with yuzu koshu foam, and Rasika goes back to Last Chance Kitchen with crab and eggplant, mushroom preserve, dukkah, and garlic tahini. And by the way, we are 2 weeks away from Restaurant Wars.
Ooh. React.
Now it's time for 30 seconds of the circle.
All right, so Miles blocks Steffi face-to-face. Meanwhile, Max is revealed as the AI player, and the producers pull him from the game.
So the producers pull him so he doesn't really play as a contestant.
Correct.
Can we have that "that's dumb" thing coming back over again?
That's dumb.
All right. Meanwhile, we have 2 new players join the circle. Automan Nielsen playing as herself, and Jordan Staff playing as himself, but a couple of years younger from before his weight loss. So he lost weight, but he's playing as a heavier version of himself.
Which, again, I don't understand how you want to play. Maybe sympathy for the fat guy? I don't know.
I don't know either.
I'm trying to understand this season, and I'm failing spectacularly.
So am I.
Season of the circle.
Oh my. Anyway, Kyle and Corey Tyler are ranked 1st and 2nd and are your influencers. They block Cassie. And then we go to another game, followed by an alert where players are teamed up with Ride or Dies. We have Jordan teaming up with Corey Tyler, Kyle and Paul, Lauren and Autumn, and Miles and Olivia. Now, this is where things get interesting, question mark? Because if somebody gets eliminated, so does their ride or die. And this comes into play at the end of episode 8, where Kyle or Paul are voted the least popular. They are both offered the choice to block themselves or save their ride or die, or they both go home.
Which, yeah, again, makes no sense.
Again, it's like, as much as I want to enjoy, I love the circle. This season makes no damn sense.
Yeah, I mean, it's sometimes you get too cutesy for your own good.
And they've been doing that for a while.
Hey, we need to make a twist. Let's make a twist. You know what? Yeah, yes, you should definitely add new stuff in there. Absolutely, but let's add new stuff that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know?
Doesn't make any
sense.
Well, you know what makes sense? Mr. Johnny Gilbert, if you would, please.
from the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy!
We need to talk about what happened tonight on episode one of Jeopardy! Masters, and man, I literally needed to take a Tylenol after that game. Those questions were hard. They were hard.
They are not for the faint of heart. They are not for the squeamish. I mean, first game was Mattea Roach.
Victoria Groach and Matt Amodio.
Yep.
Matt, unfortunately, had no shot. Mattea really did not either, as Victoria Groach dominated and gets 3 points. Mattea gets one. And Matt gets zero.
Yeah, for the record, here's the first Final Jeopardy of the night in Latin science terms. Oh, boy. In 1694, the latest in bio knowledge was Joseph Tournefort's Elements of Botany, listing 698 of these, like ambrosia and chrysanthemum.
Now, I was in the right area. I was in the right area, but the wrong part of the King Philip, you know, and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
I said phylum, but I know it's the other one.
What is the other one, Gordon?
Subphylum.
No, it's genus.
No, it's genus.
Jay, how dare you say something like that? You need to have your mouth washed out with soap right now.
No, I did not say the other word. No.
Next up, we have Amy Schneider.
Who got it right? I don't know who got it right.
Oh, yeah. Matt got it right, but it was of ill consequence. So Victoria got 3, Mattea has 1, Matt has 0. Meanwhile, we have, in their second game, Amy Schneider, Yogesh Rout, and James, I'm the Final Boss, Holzhauer.
Excuse me, Dwayne Johnson has something to say about that. Thank you very much.
Shut up.
Right, excuse me. And by the way, you know he's a wrestling guy. So you know he stole it. He stole that. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, not for nothing, Yogesh just actually kicked his ass, okay, in this game. It was not even close.
So if I was James, I would take that as a warning shot. You may think you're the boss. Here comes a new challenger.
Yes. So what happened in final?
Okay, going into final, Yogesh locks it away with 26,395 points. James has 10,200. Amy has 7,000. It's of ill consequence. Let's go to the Final Jeopardy and World Heritage Sites and this clue. This entire capital is a World Heritage Site, linked to the history of the military and charitable order of St. John of Jerusalem.
Again, I did not know this, but once it was explained, I did not even write anything down in my head.
Gordon, the correct response.
Well, I have what's the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, but I'm pretty sure that's not correct.
That is not correct.
Aw.
It was Valletta. Everybody had it, but Yogesh has the 3 points. James has the 2. James has the 1, and
they all got it right. They all got it right.
They all got right, but James has 1 point to show for it. Amy has nothing. Going into the next game, Victoria and Yogesh are tied at 3. Mattea and James are tied at 1, and Matt and Amy are tied at 0.
Right, as we go into games 3 and 4 on Monday.
Making at, you know what? I didn't think I'd be able to push this button again. I'm going to push it right now. The doctor will see you now.
That's right.
Will be Amy Hummel, the ER doctor from Milwaukee, who is up to 5 after beating 10 challengers over the past week.
And as we go into game six tonight, she plays against Wekiai Ranila from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Neil's cousin, an attorney from Washington, D.C. At the end of round one, we have Wekiai in the lead with 5,400. I'm sorry, in second place with 5,400, Niels with 6,000, and Amy at 3,000. At the end of the Double Jeopardy round, Amy has 3,600, Wekiai has 11,400, Niels has 6,400, as we have this final Jeopardy category, executive orders. The clue. Thank you. On November 16th, 1961, John Fitzgerald Kennedy suspended the 8-hour workday at this agency, saying its work needed to proceed with all possible speed. Oh, me.
Over here, over here. Yo. Pick your boy right now.
Gordon, what's the correct answer?
Oh, I said, what is the construction of the Price is Right parking lot here for a CBS Television City, which unfortunately will meet a fiery end around 50 years later.
Yeah. No, I actually, no one got it right, but I know you and I did, Chico.
I totally did. Think about it. November 15th, 1961. What was big? The space race. And Ken was like, it wasn't Cuba at all. It was the moon. He wanted NASA working longer shifts. So NASA is the correct response. And Amy, thanks to a couple of really bad daily doubles, bad luck there. But she ends the game with a buck, but she will be back for the Tournament of Champions. Meanwhile, Wekiai will return tomorrow with $9,999.
And I think that's kind of cool, and I think that's a nice way to end our first act. So what's going to be happening in Act 3? Oh, yes. Let's see. I've used antiseptic wipes. I've used cleaner. The super toilet is back and ready to go.
Oh, yeah. And it has those flush buttons instead of the handles. So.
Correct. Yes. Yep.
No need to jiggle, but watch us jiggle anyway. But first... it's all the news you didn't even know you needed to know with Gordon Pepper and Jason Block. My name is Chico Alexander, 6 day with 501, your home, where we love to interrupt. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 different game show hosts that probably would have been better choices to use on the circle. Like Bob Barker's kittens.
Oh, boy. Al Gore's head. Whoa.
Couldn't you use a whammy? Wouldn't that be cute to use a whammy as, like, your main avatar on the show?
Yes.
We'll be back after this.
Moment of silence. Moment going. Next!
Email from school about the incident today.
Scary.
You know, teachers like me, parents, we don't always know as much as you guys do about what's going on with other kids.
Half the time, it's rumors.
Yeah, but if you're ever concerned about a friend who's having trouble with alcohol, prescription drugs, anything, you need to tell an adult, someone you know and trust. That can be hard, but speaking up about a problem is what helping a friend is all about.
For more information, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
WLTI is presented by Wheel of Fortune Masters. Everybody thinks that Jeopardy is the height of intellectual competition, but Wheel of Fortune's no slouch too, and they'll prove it with puzzles like Channeling Your Key, Physics California, and Anti-Disestablishmentarianism. That is Wheel of Fortune Masters, coming this February 30th to a calendar near you.
I was waiting on the before and after to be Patrick James Holthauer.
Or Alexander.
Alexander the Great Space Coaster.
Okay.
Well, actually, I would say Q. Bert Combi. Now that would be a master.
That would be. And this would be a cue, Gordon.
But a different one. Roll that beautiful green footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you so very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can follow Doug Morris on all social media at Doug Morris Games, at Rock 104 Rock Tracks, and his Tracks Productions. And don't forget, he is on the air every Sunday with Rock Tracks with Doug Morris on Rock 104 WXRR Hattiesburg 104.5 on your FM dial. Also on all the known
multiverse
on rock104fm.com, the Odyssey app, and the WXRR Rock 104 app.
I actually have a little bit of breaking news in the business end, actually.
Okay.
We all know about the 1% club running on Amazon Prime. We actually have the date for when it starts on Fox.
Hold on.
That will be June 3rd.
And that is a week after it premieres on Prime Video, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct, yes.
So that will be on the list for Push or Flush in the near future. Be on the lookout for it. Meanwhile, as I get my other bat here. I know I said it was a little bat. It's actually a little bite, because the next big thing on Roku is Next Bite Wins. It is a snack competition to be hosted by Josh Peck. You know who Josh Peck is, right?
Refreshes.
He was on Turner and Hooch, the Disney Plus version, and he was half of Drake and Josh.
Okay. I know the guy.
It's called Best Bite Wins.
Timing is a tad questionable, but okay.
Yeah. It's hosted by Josh Peck. It's judged by Monte Carlo, who you might remember from MasterChef. And the concept is to turn cocktail party food into a competition, with professional chefs competing to present the best party food to hungry judges and clientele at real events, including birthday parties and retirement celebrations. No date as of yet.
You know, I remember this once upon a time. There was a reality show competition where you could only put everything up in one bite, if I remember correctly.
That was Extreme Chef.
Yes. So they're on line one. But you're talking about inappropriate. You know, it could be worse. It could be hosted by Mike Tyson.
Yep. We have a tiny date book, actually. Because we have the season finale of Shark Tank. Monday is the Spring Breaking Championship, the season finale on Food and Max. Next Baking Master Paris will premiere also on Monday on Food and Max. And, oh my God, Fashion! The premiere on E! And then Wednesday, the season finale of Netflix.
Not just the circle, the entire of Netflix. It's going away from the
It's the season finale of Circle. It'll be back next year. You know that.
Oh, yeah. They're already casting for next season, I believe, so.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, let's talk about
Dad Apto.
Okay.
All right, so this week we are talking about, get this, Let's Make a Deal, coming to Slotomania.
Right, and I've actually updated the app to get it because I've actually registered to win a car! Let's Make a Deal is running a contest through Slotomania in the United States with weekly drawings to have a new car. According to PR Newswire, and I'm just pulling it up. Excuse me. Wow. From now until May 21st, they will also have a chance to win a trip to a live studio taping. And let me just tell you something. That's a lot of fun. Chico and I did it.
We have been to a live studio taping of Let's Make a Deal. It is a party.
Right. And they will give away three cars over 3 weeks. And that's very smart. That's really smart. That's awesome.
That's unbelievable.
And that is, but I have a feeling that we're once again going to be going back to a clip that we've used a number of times so far in this episode.
That's dumb.
That yes. would be the clip.
Yes. Are you... Okay, you have this one, right?
I do. Are you smarter than Lawrence Fox? The former GB News host has lost his libel case against Crystal, real name Colin Seymour, and Simon Blake, a trustee with UK charity Stonewall, several months ago. He has been ordered to pay £180,000, or roughly $220,000, in damages for calling those aforementioned two plaintiffs a P-word that we cannot say on this podcast. According to the press...
But it's a naughty word.
It is a naughty word. I guess the TikTok safe phrase would be PDF files.
Yes, gotcha. Right.
Yeah. According to the according to the British Press Association, he's been ordered to pay the money in damages split evenly between Crystal and Blake by calling, and this is the judge, by calling Mr. Blake and Mr. Seymour PDF files. Mr. Fox subjected them to a wholly undeserved public ordeal. It was a gross, groundless, and indefensible libel with distressing and harmful real-world consequences for them. And this is after he left GB News after making highly misogynistic remarks about a female journalist had countersued. They countersued the pair over tweets accusing him of racism. The judge did not make a ruling on whether this was substantially true. Fox is bound to appeal that ruling because, of course, he did.
Yeah, well. Can we get some Haterade?
Haterade!
Now, this one, Gordon, you called, and this one is, you know, I'm telling you, oof, this is fugly, and I can say that because it's real, okay? According to the Hollywood Reporter, Bob Bakish is out as the Paramount CEO. And in who is running Paramount right now? Chris McCarthy, George Cheeks, and ironically enough, the partner of Dan Schneider, Brian Robbins. Okay, they are going to run Paramount through the sale.
Yes.
Gordon, you read this. What do you think?
Well, you can't have somebody, and you know what, we discussed this, and I had a feeling the hammer was going to fall sooner rather than later, especially on a merge. You can point at the Fall Guys, and that would be the ones that have made some really damaging public statements in terms of working with other colleagues and producers and actors and writers. And if it looks like you don't have a grasp of what's currently going on and you happen to be the major figurehead of a major organization, you will no longer be very shortly the major figurehead of a major organization. So, yeah, it wasn't a shock. You know, you're never happy to see anybody lose their job for any reason. So my thoughts and prayers go out. But at the same time, this was not unexpected.
No.
At least in my mind. Because eventually, you know, as a production company, oh, by the way, you need to get producers coming over to pitch things to you. And it's really hard to do that when you've been at each other's throats for months.
True.
Just a thought.
Yep. And, well, we need to go. Where are we sending Lawrence Fox, Bob Backish, and everybody else?
We'd like to send Lawrence Fox back to the UK, but he's already there, so we're going to send Bob Backish to join him. And, oh, look who we found.
Reigns!
Yes, despite being a fan favorite, despite running three very solid seasons, Alan Carr's Epic Game Show has epicked its last game show. It will not be back for a fourth season. And as TV Insider shared to The Sun, Alan won't be taking this too hard, as the three seasons Epic Game Show ran for on ITV were well received, and it's not like he's short on other projects. Yeah, he's got the UK version of Password later this year. He's got the autobiographical comedy drama Changing Ends heading into its second season. He's got ongoing projects with the BBC, including Picture Slam and Interior Design Masters. And he's gearing up for another season of his home makeover program with Amanda Holden in Spain. So Alan Carr's going to be busy.
Yeah, he's not wanting for work.
No, he's not.
Neither are these media pros.
I got pros. In different area codes.
This week's Media Pro Report, we had to say goodbye to Marla Adams, who played Tattletales, and Sonia Christopher, the historic first person to ever be voted out of Survivor.
Yes.
Very sad. Harry Jowsey is diagnosed with cancer. I hope you beat this thing, man. Travis Kelce rules out doing another reality series, probably because of that $34 million he's getting from the Chiefs for the next 2 years. But he does suggest that Jason is. By the way, Jason is doing something else with his time, I'm guessing.
Well, he's going to be working for ESPN, I believe.
There you go. Okay, remember last week when Drew Carey was talking about...
Oh, yeah. I hope you're going to say what Fish did for them.
Fish gave them a signed blender.
Yeah.
Because... I hope he doesn't stick anything in it.
Exactly. Yes.
Dave Knoll, a television wunderkind, is signing and talking about a book in New Jersey. Nick Viall and Natalie Joy just got married. Congrats. Just Sam returns to the American Idol stage for the first time, because if you remember, she won the pandemic season.
Right.
Yeah, I'm hoping that she can jumpstart her career, because she is really talented and she does not deserve the lack of treatment and publicity that she's getting right now.
Yep. Also returning to the Idol stage, Colton Dixon, Melinda Doolittle, and Danny Gokey for a group performance of Shackles by Mary Mary, which is a song Mandisa covered when she was in the top 10 in season 5.
Yes. Oh, and by the way, the Wiz... Oh, sorry. Wayne Brady's The Wiz gets shut out of the Tony nominations this week.
Oh. Vic, yeah. It's rigged! It's rigged!
Moyes
Riggs. Money.
Right. So.
But none of them are your pros of the week. And we have a whole expo full of pros because we have the lineup for Quiz Show Expo coming May 31st and June 1st at the Los Angeles Marriott Burbank Airport and Convention Center.
Mark, yes. Calories. Yes.
We have already scheduled to appear Jamie Farr, Loretta Swit, Cardi Wilson, Mindy Cohn, John O'Hurley, Jim J. Bullock, David Ruprecht, Bob Eubanks, our good friend Adam Neediff, Gary Kroger, Mark Skippy Price, Randy West, our good friend Randy West, Pat Finn, Rob Belushi, Wesley Yore, and our good friends Muffy Morocco and Ariana Hout.
And we also want to add Christine Haas, Charlie Schlatter, A. Ashley Hoff, who wrote about Match Game. Did we talk about Mackenzie Phillips?
Nope.
And Annie Wood, Bob Bergen, Carol Lawrence, Debbie Mae West, Gary Frank, Gary Kroger, Glenn Scarpelli, Greg Berg, Hunter Peterson, Jackie Joseph, Jerry Mathers, John O'Hurley, Joyce Boulafont, Lydia Cornell, Mindy Cohen, Mindy Sterling, Mitch Silpa, Patricia Cara, Ruta Lee, Shelley Herman, Teresa Kenzel, Todd Newton, Tony O'Dell, Vicki Lawrence, Wesley Yore, and Willie Tyler and Lester. They're making a big deal about this. Some other things
about a partridge in a pear tree.
And Envy Davis as Alice. No.
No. There's so much. There's actually going to be our good friend Ann Solomon's band, The Remotes, are kicking off the show with are going to be there the entire weekend. Our good friend, you notice we have a lot of good friends there. Our good friend Jakey Van Stratton is taping an episode of Go Fact Yourself.
Yep.
And which is actually.
And our good friend Frank DeCaro is hosting a game show themed panel.
Okay. And there's also. Yeah,
by the way,
it's
really nice to see this coming back up to prominence. You know, after years of it not being able to take off, it's nice, and it's also nice that it's got sponsorship and back end, and this is great. I'm excited.
Oh, you want to talk about sponsorship? Buzzer is a sponsor.
Buzzer is putting some money into this, and I'm glad. Oh, and like, see, you know, we've been talking about this because remember, game shows have been around for over 100 years now. Okay, because remember, the 100th anniversary of the first game show was, I believe, a couple of years ago during the pandemic.
Right.
Okay. And there have been many stops and starts of this stuff. We're talking about, you know, we've had, you know, game show congresses, game show throwdowns. But this is the biggest thing. And combined with the curriculum that just was announced last week in L.A., and the fact that there was an article today about old game shows on Pluto are being Twitch streamed, and the Gen Zers are like, what the heck is this? This is cool. Oh my God, everything old is new again, but game shows have never been this popular. And we love it. We love this.
We do, by the way. More information can be found at the website quizshowexpo.com. That's quizshowexpo.com.
And this week, Chico, when you put the show up, put the link in the notification. I think that would be kind of cool. I think that would be great.
That will be kind of cool.
You know what's also kind of cool? Closing it down.
Closing it down.
And those are your pros.
Yep. Yes. Okay. So I'm going to take the Choppler out for a good washing. But I'm also bringing in the super toilet because we have our first shows of the spring and summer, which is going to happen with Push or Flush right after this here at 5 and 1. We'll be right back.
¶¶
LTI has been brought to you by Beat the Bangers and Mash. That's right. It's a UK food and banker special. Whoever has got the best food gets to compete against the banker for pounds. And maybe some loonies. And some tooties.
That by is pounds, Beat you the don't Bangers mean money. And Mash.
Could be, but we'll have to find out. That is Beef and Bangers and Mash, once again, a global mashup. Literally.
Hey, all this talk about bangers and mash gets me in the mood for a bubble and squeak.
Well, excuse me. You got to find a good British restaurant, and I know one here in New York City. So, I don't know if have any...
Well, there's a Gordon Ramsay outlet at Cherokee, but I have to drive to Cherokee.
Mm-hmm.
Which I may be doing later this summer.
Let us also, but you know what we're doing now? One of our favorite segments, it's called Push or Flush. We have the Super Toilet 9000 ready to go. And this is how it works. We have, how many shows do we have this week?
We have 8 shows this week. 8 shows.
Okay, 8 shows. Okay, so we will give our reviews, and there are 5 segments. If we really like it, we push it. If we kind of like it, we pastry it. If we're in the middle, we piggle it. If we kind of not like it, it's jiggling the handle. And if we don't like it, it's a flush. 3 flushes is a clog, and then we get to flush it, and we have some fun. So let's start with a very easy one. Just play the fanfare for this one. Jeopardy Masters Season 2. Yeah, on ABC, Hulu, Disney+.
I'm just going to play the damn fanfare. Just play it.
Yes.
Unless Gordon has something to say.
I do have something to say.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
play the fanfare.
The fanfare has been played.
Yes, okay, next one, please.
Next one.
Bells.
Supermarket stakeout. More supermarkets, more staking out.
Never was really a fan of this show. This show really does not feel organic or as real as it is. So for me, it's a piggle.
I enjoy it more than Jason does. It's a pastry for me.
I enjoy it around as the same as Jason does, and it does feel very, shall we say, inorganic. Piggle for me as well.
Okay, so that's that. Next one on the same network, next Baking Master, Paris. Hey, remember the Julia Child challenge from a couple years ago?
Yes.
I'm getting a similar vibe here. We're gonna play it once, and then we're never gonna speak of it again. Jiggle.
I disagree. The Paris thing makes it a pastry for me.
Yeah. Once again, I'm agreeing with Jason, which means I need to go check my meds. It's a pastry for me. Also, I'm definitely intrigued to see what they do. I think more intrigued than Chico.
Okay, that's fair. Next is called OMG Fashion. Each episode challenges 3 disruptors to create a boundary-breaking look born of beautifully bold brain.
Julia
Fox's beautifully bold brain, using materials and techniques that would make fashion so-called gatekeepers squirm. So it's kind of like the garbage challenge from Project Runway, done every single week.
And that is why it gets a flush. Because if you're going to steal, don't steal the good stuff. Steal the bad stuff. This smells terrible. Flush.
I'm actually not going to flush this, but I'm not going to pastry it either. I'm going to piggle it. I want to see what they can do with it. In the right hands, this could be a lot of fun. The concern that I have on it is, as you said, Jay, if it's the same thing over and over and over again, I really hope that they at least switch it up. At least on Drag Race, they switch it up. between Design on a Dime and The Fall and things. There are definitely things that you can do with this that will hopefully make it feel, shall we say, and get ready for the Gordon, go to your room and discuss what you've done part, recycled.
Oh,
you spent all evening thinking of that, didn't you?
No. It's a good one, though. It still hurts, but it's good.
It hurts like hell, but it's still pretty good. But yeah, Gordon's right. This is, if done correctly, this could be a really good show. If done incorrectly, it could be a gigantic cluster. That's why I'm giving it a pickle.
Okay. Next one.
Next is your favorite show, Jay, the Eurovision Song Contest from Malmö, Sweden.
Okay.
Definitely my favorite competition. You cannot push harder than this push.
Okay, I'm going to pastry it because here's the problem. The Americans don't go far enough. I need wacky. I need European. I need absolute bonkers bizarro. They don't do it for me. Pastry.
I'm going to go push, but only if they bring back Tara Lipinski and Johnny Weir to narrate the whole thing, because they are animated, let's say. They're as animated as the Europeans, I like to say.
Right.
And they make it worth watching. Because remember, we get the coverage on Peacock.
Right. Right, but do the... Yeah, but
which is another reason why I push it, is because we can actually see this live along with everybody else on Peacock.
Yes.
Okay. All right, that's cool.
Next up, The Goat. Think House of Villains, only with the best players in reality instead of the worst ones.
Okay, first of all, number one. You're correct. This is the House of Villains. Okay? Did the House of Villains cast the really worst people of all time?
This is the House of Villains on HGH.
Yeah, this is basically
Chico, for other people to explain the rationale here, go through the cast fairly quickly.
All right, Joe Mobile, Reza Farahan, CJ Franco, Wendell Holland, Tech Holmes, Justin Johnson / Alyssa Edwards, Paula Mayfield, and Davon Rogers.
Nobody of those you know. Nobody.
I only know Tech Holmes because he hosted like one season of Hole in the Wall for Cartoon Network.
I know Alyssa Edwards. I'm wondering I don't know personally, but I know who Alyssa Edwards is. I'm trying to figure out why Alyssa Edwards is on The Goat. I'm trying to understand the casting here. I mean, just because I have no idea what the hell to do with this. I'm jiggling. I can't really flush it.
Same.
Because there's probably some sort of good idea in here. I just, for the life of me, don't know what it is. Jiggle.
I have a feeling that this is just going to be reality people doing stupid things and Daniel Tosh laughing at them. Jiggle.
Yeah, same idea. I don't care. Let move on.
Moving on. Summer Baking Championship Season 2.
Again, with the baking championships, they know what they're doing. It's a push.
It is a push because, again, this has been sort of a hole that has been filled last year in the baking championship extended universe, I like to say.
I don't mind the Baking Championship universe. I'm not as high gung-ho on this as you guys are. So I'm going to pastry it.
Okay, that's fine.
I like it. I just, it's, but again, we're here at the difference between liking and, oh my God, I've got to see this, yes, which would be a push. So I like it, but not, it's something that I can watch the next day DVR it.
That's fair. And finally, I'm just going to scroll over to the push button.
Hold on.
RuPaul's Drag Race All-Star Season 9.
According to the press release that I've seen, this All-Stars 9 format is exactly what it's going to be for the All-Stars 7 format. All the queens get $75,000 up front. So they're all getting paid regardless of where they finish, which is why $200,000 goes to charity. I'm sure there's going to be other tchotchkes and things that they can win on the way around here. But if this is exactly what it says it is in the box, and there's no reason to think why it wouldn't be, especially because of the press release that says, yes, we're doing it this way. There's two things that I really like, and even an improvement on All-Star 7. Number one, this is, for all intents and purposes, not just a display of talent, but it's a display of talent by people that really you're upping their brand, which I like a lot. With the winners, you really didn't need to do much. It's just sort of like, all right, this is magic, let's go. This not only allows you to do that with these people, but it also allows you, again, to do this without a voting thought. You get to see everybody. You can make mistakes. You can grow. You can learn. I cannot push this hard enough. Push.
Push it. Absolutely. If it's what you said, hell yes. Absolutely.
Obviously, if there's anything that's misleading on the press release, you know I will turn on this in a second. But based on the press release, and they've never... The one thing about the RuPaul's Drag Race press releases, they've always been accurate. When they say they're going to throw a curveball, they're going to. But they've never not said that they're not going to throw a curveball, and then all of a sudden throw a curveball. So I'm more than willing to take this at face value.
Can I hit the button now?
Yes.
And that is going to do it for Push or Flush Round 1. Round 2 is next week. Speed round right on the other side of this here on 5-1. Let's go. WLTI is presented by the Grizzle Bees May Day Special with the Cuban and goat cheese with a side of onion lingos, or maybe you can sink your teeth into the well-done steaks poker sliders, the spaghetti and the quiz with meatballs, tic-tac tacos, and for dessert, ice cream beet shazamwiches. Say ciao to our house at the Grizzle Bees May Day Special. You'll wish you had less fun.
Personally prefer the Tic Tac Delicious Tacos.
Yeah, I agree.
See what I did there?
I do. I definitely see what you did there.
Wasn't that your recipe, Gordon?
It was. I'm glad that they created something different with it. We'll see how it goes. I'm wondering exactly what they're going to be doing with the Rapping Dragon Ambrosia.
It tastes like flat cola. Anyway.
Let's start that speed round now. Survivor. Who's next on the hit parade? And is it Q?
It's not Q.
There is no chance it's gonna be Q. They're going to take you to the end. You don't leave that in there on the edit if that is not going to happen. So you got Q, the Auto 3, and anybody that they can pull in. If I need to be worried if I am not in that four grouping.
Okay. I would be worried if I was Liz. That's just me.
Yeah, if I'm Liz, I need to be real concerned.
Yes.
Okay.
Amazing Race. Do they get out of the back? Do they get out of the back wanted shade?
I hope so. But again, the pattern's been four in a row. See, this is also why I think they went back to original of the actual traveling, because the traveling is more of the equalizer than anything else. You know what I mean?
I agree. Top Chef, who is in danger?
Let me look.
I want to say...
The only person out of the whole group that hasn't won anything, and I'm giving Sue a pass here, but the only other person that hasn't won anything, I believe, is Savannah.
Yeah,
or Kevin. So my thought is one of those two to go. Especially because Kevin's already been at the bottom a number of times.
And remember, because they brought back two people, the judges reserve the right to have an unannounced double elimination. Just something to remember.
I don't see it happening now because you need eight people for Restaurant Wars.
There you go. Okay, we have a new champion in Wikii Ranila. How long do they last?
I'm going to say maybe two games, possibly three. She does not seem like a strong player, but who knows? I want to put it to you this way. So far in this shortened season, it's the year of the woman, so good for them. Jeopardy Masters, are Victoria and Yogesh going to continue their domination? I'm going to say yes.
I'm also going to say yes. But hopefully, James
really?
Holds out.
No, absolutely not. No, okay. No.
So we're going to get it. So we're going to have a tournament. Good for us. Okay.
I hope so, because, you know, you know what? Stuff like this happens. Stuff like this, when it happens, it's beautiful when everyone gets involved, you know? When everyone makes their presence known, you know? I don't like
Runaways.
Yeah,
and I think that's going to happen, by the way.
I don't like Runaways. But don't get me wrong. I love a Runaway. Just not in a place like this.
Well, you know what I like? I like email. Do we have any of that?
We do not, but if you want to send us some, our address is WLTIGameshowNewsNet.com, or you can slide into our DMs on any of the fine social media networks at GameshowNewsNet. I am at Dino R. Alexander.
I am at Beat the Block, the number 2.
And I am GSNN Haterade.
And of course, the network is at 5&1net. That is 5&ONENET. And we talk about anything and everything network wide. We have the draft special from last week on the BS Big Show, where it was an entertaining, albeit somewhat boring, watch as we saw Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May go 1, 2, 3, and Marvin Harrison Jr. go 4. Just for, you know, some variety. But it was not without surprises because Carolina traded up to pick 32nd after we swore that we were not going to have a first round draft pick. But we are going to be on the air with another BS with the schedule release later this month. Later this week, what is going on the NAWC, Jay?
The NAWC, we are recording Friday because Backlash, which is in France, debuts on Saturday. It is a premium live event. We will also be talking about AEW and the weird crap that they still continue to do. We're just gonna talk about the wrestling news and of course the WWE draft. So Gordon, what did you not like about the draft?
Everything.
Okay.
You know, if you're gonna do a draft, make it make sense. You know, you just had a whole universe of weirdness going on. I sort of understand why they're doing it, but. You know, and I love the draft. Don't get me wrong. I think it's one of the better ideas that the WWE has had. Just your, for me, fell flat. So it was a little bit of a bummer. The picks that they had, some of them were confusing and made absolutely no sense.
Okay. And
so
of course,
by the way, going with the panel, so we have, it's now the beginning of May. There's 2 months left on the regular season. And we have a couple of very crucial and critical matchups this weekend coming up. for some people, it's going to be Mayday, and for other people, it's going to be Mayday.
I see what you did there.
Nice, yes.
And of course, all of the matches are on caffeine.tv. You want to watch them?
Well, a bunch of them are.
Yes, exactly. And, of course, Chico, it was a thing. It was a thing on TV.
Okay. We released the best of on the college comedies of 1979, all three of them. Delta House, Brothers and Sisters, and Coed Beaver. And if you counted up how many episodes they lasted, you still have some appendages left over. But our new episode, which just dropped, was Best of the West. It's a Western. It's a comedy. It has Joel Higgins, Vito Pellucci, Leonard Fry, Christopher Lloyd. It's from the makers of Taxi. Everybody's going to love it, right? Well, there's one problem with that. We'll get into it when we talk about Best of the West on It Was a Thing on TV.com.
Okay.
By the way, Pilot Month is coming.
There you go. So, what's happening next week?
Next week, we are going to review Next Baking Master. We're going to review OMG Fashion. We're going to do the Who Wins If, briefly, on The Circle, which is more like Who Cares if you ask me, and more of the Jeopardy Masters, Survivor, Top Chef, Amazing Race, all of that good stuff, and more of The Toilet. We have to have more of The Toilet because it is that time of the year that we love so much here on the World's Strongest Game Show Podcast with Gordon Pepper, for Jason Block, for everybody at 5-1. My name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. Game over. And spread the love.
Interrupt this program.